We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire. With the seventh pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Penei Sewell, tackle, Oregon.
He's going to run it straight in. Jared Goff.
Carr, touchdown, Detroit Lions. TJ Hawkins, they did it. They tied it. They're an extra point away from winning this game. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Yo, what's going on, guys? Welcome back to Spotify Green Room. I am your host, Tyler. This is sponsored by the Blue Wire Network. I got my two boys, as always. Malcolm, Pierre, how are you boys doing today?
I am doing great. How are you? Bro, I got to say something. We are officially in regular season mode. Let's go.
We are. This is my second time talking to you today. We did the pregame, obviously. We're here talking postgame. Let's get right into it. But first, let's introduce Malcolm.
Oh, my gosh.
Finally, Mr. Hart has come back to Spotify Green Room.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what? I'm thinking about this. I want to come up with the whole intro. I want to be like a Jim Ross.
Okay,
like
okay.
I want to give Malcolm a whole WWE entrance one day.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's go, man. That'll be dope.
Tonight's not going to be that night.
No, not tonight.
But maybe like the roll into the regular season, we might have something fire.
Woo!
We'll see.
Let's go.
We'll see.
You know I'm all for it, man.
Okay. Wow. It feels weird, guys. Well, we're officially covering the last preseason game of 2021. We've officially covered all three preseason games. So not yet, but after this, we'll have officially covered all three preseason games. And like Pierre said to start the show, we're in regular season mode. I mean, it still doesn't real feel. It doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel real. So, all right, let's get right into this game. Lions, Colts, Ford Field. They wrapped the preseasons. The Lions fall again in the preseason, and now their official record in the preseason 2021 was 0-3. I wouldn't panic yet because, and you remember in 2008 when the Lions went 0-16, they went 0, or they went 4-0. So,
hey, I did.
So maybe it's reverse psychology. You know, you lose every game in the preseason. You win every game in the regular season. So maybe the Lions will be the first 17-0 team.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah.
Speaking to existence. Let's go.
Let's speak into existence. 17-0, baby. 17-0.
So, Tyler, should I go online on BetOnlineAG or whatever and put like $1,000 on Lions winning the Super Bowl?
I mean, I wouldn't.
If you do that, you'll win like $100,000.
I mean, I wouldn't put my name behind it.
If you
but
put $1,000 on that, you'll win like $100,000, bro.
Bro, I'd lose.
I think like
if that happened, I think you'll win. You should deserve.
I think like
dollars.
It's the payout is so high. Like you could put like $5, and your payout amount might be like $800.
Damn.
It should be more than $800 if you're putting 17.
If you put $5, no, I'm saying no. I think it's for a Lions Super Bowl win. If you put like $5, it's like the payout's like $800.
Yeah, I mean, you should be making six figures. I feel like if you're betting the Lions to go 17-0, I know you said the Super Bowl, but if the Lions go 17-0, you should be making six figures. I don't care how much money you bet. That's just me personally. But all right, now let's get into it. Lions, last preseason game, Lions versus Colts. Let's start off with some guys who maybe, you know, look good for you. Maybe some guys that didn't look good for you. Maybe some guys where you're double thinking now. We're like, hey, this guy could actually make the team where you didn't have expectations like that before. Or maybe it was like, hey, I think this guy can make the team. And today proved he's not going to make this team. I'll start off with you, Malcolm. Who was that one guy for you?
Godwin Agadoboogie. I can't say his last name. I tried. Can't say his last name.
Okay, yeah, but we like to call him the former safety from Northwestern.
The former safety. He played well, and I think he actually performed better than Jefferson actually in this game. So that, I think they're gonna have a really tough time with that running back room and exactly what they're gonna do.
Yeah, I think overall the running backs. You know, I think we saw the depth chart today. I think we saw the true depth chart. I don't think it was any smoke or any, you know, BS. I think we saw the legitimate depth chart of the order of the running backs that came into the game. So, obviously, Swift and Williams didn't play this game, so they're the lock for 1 and 2. But Jefferson started the game, and Jefferson had some nice moments, dude. I thought you could arguably, you know, make him the player of the game. I thought he looked really good, and I think he locked up that third running back spot. That sure one did. Wasn't as much of a shock. Now, getting into a guy that, you know, we haven't really talked about too much, and I'm just going to call him the former safety from Northwestern. I mean,
we got to get this name. We got to get this name.
We got to get this name right. We got to get this name.
Hey, guys, that's what I was doing. It's Igbayuke.
Igwagabute.
Can we call him Iggy?
How about we just call him the former safety?
The former safety from Northwestern. I like that.
That's how you pronounce it. Hold
on. I like the former safety from Northwestern.
The former safety from Northwestern.
Here, guys, this is it.
Go ahead.
So if you look at the comments, it's right there.
Igwabuke. I feel wrong saying this. I'm still saying the former safety from Northwestern.
Let's call him the former safety from
Northwestern. I'm going to be honest. That's not respectful. Let's just call him by his name.
It's more disrespectful me trying to say his name. Yeah, it's more disrespectful me trying to say his name because I botched it up so bad.
I just told you it's Godwin Igbayuke.
Call him Godwin. We're not. I can't say this.
All right, you say Godwin. All
right,
fine.
But... okay, enough with his name.
We could call him G.I.
That's still like the former safety from Northwestern. Okay. Enough with the guy's name, though. He looked good, though, today. He looked good. He was the second running back to enter the game. It wasn't Craig Reynolds. But Craig Reynolds jumped, I think, in the depth chart in front of Dedrick Mills. And, you know, I thought... you know, with the former safety from Northwestern, I thought he had a good game. And if the Lions decide to carry four running backs, I think he won the job. Now it's going to come down to the Lions. Do they want to carry four running backs or three? That's a decision. It could be an interesting decision, depending on what else they want to do with the rest of this roster. But I think we saw what we needed to see. And I feel pretty confident saying that Godwin, the former safety from Northwestern, has won the fourth running back spot if they decide to go that route. So Craig Reynolds, you know, that was a guy I feel like we were all predicting, you know, yesterday. I feel like he didn't do enough today to win that job and to make the 53. So I think Godwin stepped in today, and I think if they decide to go four, I think he's the guy. And then Dedrick Mills seemed like he just kind of fell down the depth chart slowly as the preseason gone on. And it's not really a knock on his game. It's just there was a lot of guys in the depth chart and a lot of guys that stepped up. And unfortunately, Dedrick Mills just didn't really make enough noise to, I think, make the 53. Maybe he's a candidate if he can clear waivers to make the practice squad. That's very possible. But I think Malcolm choosing Godwin, I like that one a lot because that wasn't a guy we had much expectation for. At least I didn't.
Yeah, me neither. Let me ask you, man. Yeah. Do you think one of these guys, like, do you think they'll be able to put both of these guys on the practice squad, or maybe just going to be one of these guys?
Are you saying with Reynolds and
So if Reynolds do not make the team, do you think they both make the practice squad, or maybe just one of them is going to make the practice squad?
I'll say this. I think five overall running backs from what we saw in camp will be within this organization. So within the 53, I think we definitely got three, and I think that's obviously Swift, Williams. I think Jefferson got that third spot. I think if they decide to carry four, I think it will be Godwin if he makes it. But if he doesn't make it, and if he clears waivers, I think Godwin and Reynolds would be on the practice squad. So I think five overall guys will be within the organization. I don't think all six will.
The tables has turned. That's crazy. It's crazy. One game. Look how the tables has turned in just one game.
Right.
We're just all over Reynolds.
Yeah.
And then now in one game, we're saying that he may not make it, and it may go to Godwin. That's insane. And that's crazy how this last preseason game could just – flip the table around just in an instant. That's crazy.
It wasn't just because of when Godwin, you know, what he did in the game. I look at it when he came into the game. He was ahead of Craig Reynolds coming into the game. That's why I'm giving him the edge right now.
Yeah, he was.
And I think that's important.
He was. And I think he was better on special teams as well.
He was.
And so, kick returning.
Oh, guys, I got breaking news. The Lions are preparing for Tim Boyle to be out for a while with a thumb injury.
Ooh.
Oh, shit.
So look out for another quarterback potentially for the Lions within, you know, on Tuesday when we see some waived quarterbacks.
Well,
he said severity is unknown, but he'll be out. He'll be out for a little bit. So David Blau will be QB2 entering the season.
Could you imagine we bring back Chase Daniels? I'll be so pissed.
He's on the Chargers.
No, they're not bringing Chase Daniels back here.
I'm saying, like, what if Chase Daniels got cut? Because he's a third quarterback on the team.
They're not going to bring him.
If Chase Daniels comes back on this football team.
No, the Lions should go young. The Lions should go young. Maybe like a Jordan Tiamu on the practice squad or something.
If the Lions go,
they should just bring him back.
Yeah,
they could do that.
That makes
I like
sense.
Him. He has some athleticism. Like, obviously, he's a work in progress, but
he was a XFL player, right?
Yeah. XFL.
I remember him in XFL. He was fun to watch in XFL. I believe
Battlehawks.
Battlehawks. Yep. The Battlehawks. They were a fun team in the XFL. Their fans stood behind them. Overall, I think Godwin was a good one. But Pierre, who was a guy that maybe you didn't expect to have a good game or expect to maybe make this 53? And now he kind of turned your head and said, hey, he might make it now.
Who was that? I think Brock Wright outplayed Alize Mack.
I did too.
I wasn't really expecting that today. And I also believe AJ Parker locked down like the Niblers. Any questions coming in today, he locked that spot down. That's his starting role entering the season. I really believe that.
I think Brock Wright, too, you know, kind of just going on with Godwin. Brock Wright started this game at tight end. It was Darren Fell, sorry. And then Brock Wright came in to relieve for Darren Fell. So you got to look at all when these guys came into the game, especially in this third preseason game. I think that's a big telling of the depth chart, you know, how it is, you know, how the coaching staff looks at it. And if those guys could step up when they get the opportunity, if they're getting their name called early, you might have an edge over them, which – I think Brock Wright had a nice catch in the game, and he was ahead of Mack on the depth chart as far as in this game. So that looks like it was something slowly it's happened because Mack looked like he was tight end three for a while. But going into today's game, it was Brock Wright. So maybe Brock Wright now has the edge.
Another thing I noticed was Tom Kennedy played, but he like barely played. So I'm guessing right now he's a lock for now.
Yeah, I think so as
lock
well.
Lock him in.
You know, who's a guy for me that really – is making me question the decision now, and I might put him on my roster predictions when we do our next episode. It's Geronimo Allison. I thought Geronimo Allison had a sneaky good game. I think he's had a sneaky preseason kind of, and even during the broadcast, Brandon Gaudin mentioned a Dan Campbell quote during the week when saying, you know, GMO's just kind of been that guy who's just been working quietly. Like, not too many people are talking about GMO right now. You know, he's a veteran. He has experience in this league. He started in this league before with the Packers. You know, GMO's kind of just one of those sneaky players who could end up making this team. I wouldn't be completely shocked on it. And I honestly might put him in my 53-man predictions. I thought personally today with Breshad Perriman's performance, he was a guy that I originally had on my 53. But with two drops and Campbell mentioning, you know, a week ago saying how he just hasn't really done much, I think Perriman could be out the doors now. I think I really believe that now. I know you guys have been saying that, but I think I believe that now, and I think GMO could take that spot potentially.
That is crazy.
When I heard like the thing when they said on the broadcast that GMO's like, okay, this is interesting.
Yeah. So I think GMO's a guy I'll look out for. And then Breshad Perriman, he didn't do himself any favors today. I don't think he did himself any favors today.
No, he didn't. Might as well just get a box, pack his shit in.
Yeah.
Terrible. This is terrible.
Something to keep a note of, too. We talked about this yesterday on the prediction show. I could see Boyle making the original 53-man roster and then place him in IR, and then they get someone else.
Yeah.
Very big possibility.
Because IR is only 3 weeks. No, that's the rule.
So we got a Dan Campbell quote speaking about the former safety from Northwestern, Godwin. He said he's out there waving a massive flag trunk. He wants a job. So he went out of his way to mention Godwin's performance from today, too.
I love how honest Campbell is. He doesn't say, oh, I got to go back, check the film, like the preview. Like, this deal straight up says it. Like, he'll tell you if you're good, if you're bad. He's honest, but the media, too.
Yeah.
Sugarcoat anything or like competitive advantage, Patriot way stuff. You know what I mean?
Like, it's not all good, you know? Like, even he mentioned Breshad Perriman. Like, he just hasn't done anything for me.
Yeah.
He's got to really prove it.
Yep.
So
I know exactly what Pencil Head would have said. Gotta coach him better. We gotta coach him better. We gotta play better.
I gotta look back in the film room and see what we did wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to go on to this defensive line because this was a question that we had.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Yesterday, and we had before the game, and that's Nick Williams. So Nick Williams did end up playing this game like we expected to. He started this game. What'd you guys see from Nick Williams? Do you think he ends up making this team or he doesn't make this team if you had to make the call right now? I'll start off with you, Peter.
I didn't see much from him, but he was there and he didn't play a lot, so I'm guessing right now he's also a lock. I think I'm going to put him back in.
There wasn't a guy that really stepped up in his position, too, because you've
been... Bruce Hector and Miles Brown were not there. That's like my guy and your guy. They were not good today.
You were mentioning Bruce Hector, like, to maybe step into that 53, man. He just wasn't good enough, man. He wasn't good today. He was getting moved around. The run defense in that second half... I mean, it was disgusting. The run defense in the first half was nice, but in the second half, it was bad. Starting with Miles Brown, starting off with Bruce Hector, Julian Aquara didn't do a really good job containing the edge. It wasn't a great performance in the second half from the defensive line. But in the first half, you saw some flashes. You know, when you saw McNeil playing, you saw Anzurike play a little more. Austin Bryant, Charles Harris, I thought those guys were good. Kevin Strong.
55.
Derek Barnes, 55. Linebacker. Yeah, Derek Barnes.
55.
Yeah, I think Derek Barnes, I think, he is what he is, man.
I'm going to order a jersey, man. I'm just going to say that. I'm going to order a jersey.
We know what Derek Barnes is now, man. Like, Derek Barnes is that guy. He's that guy.
That's my I told you, I'm buying a jersey. That's my guy.
Now, do you guys
think, Derek Barnes,
regarding Tavai, he was still with the first team today. You guys think he's going to make the roster?
That was interesting. Oh, my Lord.
That's where I'm kind of hard on because,
Tyler, what are your thoughts on Tavai? He actually didn't play bad today.
Where's my mic?
He actually did it.
Where's my mic?
This is probably his best preseason game.
Absolutely not.
He's absolutely not.
There was a play where he could have got a sack. He hesitated a little from the play action. Yeah.
But if he didn't hesitate, he would have had the sack. That counts as a pressure.
I know, he didn't get the sack, though.
And then the big play, too.
Oh, Barnes took that guy's head off. He'll take his head off.
Barnes would have a sack. Even if Barnes hesitated, he has the speed to make up for it. Tavai doesn't.
So how do you guys feel about Tavai? Did he do enough to make the roster, even as a backup?
Even as bad as his linebacking core, I still don't think he made it.
In my opinion, no, but the Lions just don't have anyone. Like, we talked about Devontae Beck and Anthony Pittman. They made some plays, but they also got some bad plays out there. So, like, I don't really know, like, who takes that spot.
Who does he make this roster over? Did he take a Reeves Mavens?
No, I think Jalen is – he's a lock.
He's a lock? Then if Jalen's a lock, then and Derek Barnes is a lock, unless you're carrying five inside linebackers, I don't think Tavai's going to make the team then.
You're probably going to carry five, but I just don't think that fifth guy's in this organization right now at the current
moment. That's fair. There's this kid from the Saints. I forgot his name. I was watching the Saints the other day. Kid Flash.
There's going to be someone. I don't think Tavai did enough in this preseason, and I don't think these young guys did enough. A Pittman.
Did he even make a tackle in this game? Let's take a look. What did Tavai do?
Tavai? I don't think he had a tackle.
Tavai had an assist.
Assist, okay. So, we got...
Why is he starting? Why is he out there starting?
No, I expected that. I mean, who else will they put?
Barnes!
Well, Barnes
Why
played.
Why is he starting over Derek Barnes? I'm flabbergasted. I don't get it.
We Guys, know I'll give you Barnes that tight end's though. Name. I mean, that linebacker's name, Winston McManus. Just keep an eye on him. Comes from New Orleans. He's had a really good training camp for them.
That's the guy? Do you think he's not going to make the roster or something?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to make the roster. I mean, I searched him up a little, and the New Orleans beat writers like, this guy's popping everywhere, but the Saints are so deep at linebacker that I might not even make it.
Oh, that's terrible. I feel bad for the guy.
You could latch on another team.
I know that. I'll be sarcastic. Going back to Tavai. man. I know you said you expect him to start, but why did you expect him to start, Tyler?
Okay. Anzalone's not playing. No. Jamie Collins is not going to play. Derek Barnes was going to play, but well, we know what Derek Barnes is at this point. And Derek Barnes played a lot today, too. So, I don't know. I know what Barnes is. I guess you could have said Reeves Mayfield played some defense, too, today, I believe. So, I mean, who else do you got? Tavante Beckett was not going to start over him. You're not going to start Anthony Pittman over him.
I mean, shoot, they've been better if you ask me. I thought we were going to see Tavai late. I didn't think I was going to see him starting again.
I think they wanted to give him another chance
I said again? I saw him out there early. I was like, again? He's out there again?
I thought we might see him a lot. I thought we were going to maybe give him some Julian Aquara time.
Yeah, you said he was like, yeah, we're going to see him all game. I got scared when you said that, but shoot, we damn near saw him all game.
I thought we were going to see a Julian Aquara performance, where he's going to just be playing a lot.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. Yeah, I mean, Pierre, what about he has no chance. With that performance today, your boy, Tavai.
Right, stop.
You think, like,
is he going to the moon?
Is this it for Tavai? Did he do enough to make the team?
I don't think he did enough. I don't know. I just don't see it with him. And even today, you could have said he played well, but they didn't really go at him. The Colts were just, I don't know how to say, they didn't really target the middle of the field, did they? They didn't really attack him or go towards him. He was just doing his job.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, I was trying to, I was keeping an eye on him because, all right, let's
I was too, to be honest. Does. And Reeves Maven. I didn't really see nothing bad about them today.
Exactly.
But I didn't see nothing good coverage, either. It's they didn't do much.
Yeah, because in coverage, he was with the running back and he had good coverage on the running back. They didn't throw it to him, but the coverage was there. He played well for the first time. I mean, I don't get to say that too often about Tavai.
Yeah, I don't think our whole perception should change on Tavai after one game, though.
No, hell no.
Like, I mean, this is like an ongoing thing for 2 years now. Like, I don't think it should just – I don't know. I don't think he makes the team.
So you still don't give him a puncher's chance?
No.
No. Damn. I want to get into a position battle that I thought was interesting. Charles Harris, Austin Bryant, and I think Jordan Aquara makes the team, but he was playing really late, and he didn't really have the best game today. What are your thoughts on those three guys?
I thought Austin Bryant was phenomenal today.
He played awesome today.
He played his ass off.
He sure did.
I think he locked his spot today.
Yeah. Do you guys think Aquara is safe? I personally do, just because he's young and he has upside.
Yeah.
But he still has a lot of work to do, man.
Campbell's words about Aquara, seeing how thinks he could be a superstar, and like, he's high on 99. He's really high on 99. So yeah. I don't see them moving off on him. I don't know what the role will be for him going into the season.
Third down.
Yeah.
It's
going to be a small role for him. It's going to be like maybe 10 to 20% of the snaps, I would say, percentage-wise, going into the regular season, off at least. And maybe he could slowly get better as the season goes on, and maybe those percentages could go up. And if there's an injury or something like that, those percentages could go up as well.
Yeah, he's still like – oh, go ahead. I feel like the dude he played in week one, the right tackle he played or the left tackle, was kind of weak. He struggled, like, today.
I was telling you that, guy. Like, I didn't think what he was doing week one. I know he was getting the stuff done, but like, he wasn't displaying any pass rush moves. It was just a straight speed rush, and like, that's cool. It'll work in college. I'll work it probably versus third team guys in the preseason. But like, when we start to get to real like offensive tackles, I mean, your speed only takes you so far. You got to have some type of pass rush move as well. And I feel like we haven't seen that yet from Aquara.
I think with him right now, he's getting burnt by like the running game.
Oh yeah,
because he's over pursuing. So he's got to learn like how to balance, committing to the run to the pass. So he won't get burnt like that. But I think it's something that's gonna take over time. He's just gonna learn, and I think as far as how they're gonna use him, I think they're gonna strictly use him on third and longs, where they know it's gonna be a passing down. And he can just now have to think about a running play. He can just, just go after the quarterback.
And honestly, I blame this on Notre Dame, because that's how Notre Dame plays. I mean, the competition they play, they don't play versus like these premium offensive tackles. So they're used to just using their speed. I thought even a prospect that we saw in this year's draft, Jason Owey, he got drafted by the Ravens. Like, he was another one of those guys, like, just not much of a pass rush move, but his athletic ability is so special. And I think it's the same thing with Aquara. Like, I think these guys could be good players, but it's going to take time because they don't, like, they haven't practiced. Like,
they're raw.
Pass rush moves. They're raw. Yeah, they're really raw, but they have all the traits to be such good players. And I think that's where Aquara is right now, too.
Yeah.
And he missed a lot of last year, and he was with a very crappy coach, so it didn't really benefit him,
Yeah, it didn't.
So... I would be patient with Aquara. I think he definitely makes a team. I'm not concerned about that. But I would take time. I would take time with him. I wouldn't panic with him just yet. We'll see. We'll see how the development goes with Julian.
So if you had to pick one after tonight, Austin Bryant or Charles Harris, who are you guys taking?
Take Austin.
This is a no-brainer.
Yeah, me too. Austin Bryant as well.
Austin Bryant.
And it's not even a knock to Charles Harris, because I thought he actually he was good in the preseason, man. He was good in the whole preseason, all three games.
I could see both making it. I was about to say that.
I was going to say this. We just talked about Julian Aquara's really raw ability right now. Would you guys be shocked if they carry these four guys of Romeo, Trey, Bryant, and Charles, and maybe, just maybe, this might be crazy, but you make Julian Aquara a healthy scratch for a little bit and let him develop?
Why not? I thought you'd say something scary as hell, like cut him and put him in the practice squad.
No.
I was about to say, have you lost your goddamn mind?
No. So you let Aquara develop in practice, just don't really give him much of a role, maybe the first month of the NFL season or, whenever he's ready, they think. But maybe like week one, I don't think Julian's ready right now to play, potentially.
Julian? I mean, he's not going to start. damn sure not ready to start.
No. But maybe, you know, that 10 to 20% we were just talking about, Julian, maybe give that to Charles for a little bit.
Could be.
And then maybe you release Charles Harris when Jason Cornell's back from suspensionless, because that's another guy they can use.
It depends, like, who's producing and stuff, too. Like, you don't want to release a guy who's producing.
No, yeah. I'm just talking hypothetically right now, basically.
I'm going to be honest, guys. I've been impressed with Cornell. He's coming off a torn Achilles, really hard to come by. Seventh round pick from last year. He's looked really good this year.
Yeah, he is. I think he's going to make this team after suspension.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think he's going to have a 50-30, and that's going to be another decision down the line.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be against it, you know, if they carry those four guys and maybe they just slowly, you know, bring Julian along. And when they think he's ready, bring him in.
Have him as a healthy scratch? I mean, he's still on the team. I don't care.
Yeah, no, he's going to be on this 53. No problem. That's not a problem. Yeah, but as far as maybe not giving him a role necessarily to start the
right
season.
Right now? Give him a role? Not give him a role? I don't. That's fine with me. I don't care.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, I thought you would give me more of a dirty answer.
No, not regarding this. I mean, he's like, you got to think about it. Even if he does play, like, what's the percentage of snaps he's going to take? You said like
maybe 20%? I say 10 to 20. Yeah, 10 to 20.
That's not a lot. I mean, if you're going to make him a healthy scratch, that's fine. Let him develop.
Okay. All right. I want to get into another battle that we saw today, and that's the cornerback position. You guys were both, you know, pretty, you know, confident in Nicole Roby Coleman making this 53-man roster. I'm interested. Are you guys still as confident you guys were yesterday as far as Nicole Roby Coleman making this 53 right now?
No.
No? Malcolm?
No. He didn't do nothing.
Here's another thing, too, that kind of so Campbell just talked to the media previously, and he said on the suddenly slot corner competition, Campbell said Lions don't have a guy that has outside versatility or a great special teamer at that spot, making decision tougher.
Okay, so...
So it looks like they don't even view Mike Ford as a nickel anymore. He's an outside corner strictly.
Just a backup outside?
And it looks like they don't think Parker, Roby Coleman, or Elder could play on special teams either.
Isn't Elder known for his special teams ability, or that's what he was known for at least?
I have no idea.
I think he was more known for...
Seems like Campbell doesn't trust him. It's with special teams. They don't trust these guys.
Okay, so that's interesting. I think that brings up a question. How many of these guys do you bring on? I think Parker makes it. I think Ford makes it. But do they do some more shakeup maybe, potentially, as far as free agents?
Maybe they roll with a few corners. Maybe they roll with a few corners, right? And then claim the guy.
We counted four right now.
So you have your starters?
Or five. We counted five. So we counted Akuda, AO, Parker, Iffy, and Mike Ford. That's five right there.
Yes.
Maybe they bring one more from the guys they got within their organization between Elder or Roby Coleman. Or they bring a guy that has maybe more versatility if that's in free agency. That's Quentin Dunbar potentially if he's cleared. Maybe. I don't know. Because I don't think Jerry Jacobs did enough too to make the team either.
I think Jacobs is a good practice squad candidate.
I agree. I like him as a practice squad player. Develop him slowly.
Potentially next year he could turn into like our Mike Ford or something. You know what I mean?
I mean, that would be cool. For me, Corn Elder had a pretty good game today.
He did. But AJ Parker had a really good game too. AJ Parker's ahead of him on the depth chart.
AJ Parker's already a lock. I'm not even worried about that. I'm thinking about this last corner, the sixth guy, I think. I think they're going to carry six. I think the sixth guy I'm worried about.
Well, sorry to cut you off, but I think the more interesting thing is now that they don't view Mike Ford as that versatile option that we believed, I think you got to get someone who could play both the nickel and outside. Because if they don't view Ford as that guy, who is that guy?
I think Ford can still be that guy.
He could, but
Campbell basically just said like, he's not a slot guy anymore.
Yeah, like they didn't even address him in the nickel corner anymore.
Yeah, he I don't think he took any snaps in the preseason.
Who?
As a nickel. Did he go in the first
game? He started off as the nickel.
The first game versus the Bills, he was a nickel corner.
Yeah, he was starting nickel. But
the second game, he didn't get any snaps. And the third game, he didn't get any snaps either.
Yeah, he was only strictly outside. And he was up and down today. I thought he was good in coverage. He was just honestly just making the play at the end. wasn't, you know, being able to get his hand down and make the pass breakup, but he was there in coverage.
I think they have enough outside corners.
They do.
I think they're straight in the outside.
So you got Okuda,
yeah,
so
you
AO.
You need a guy inside.
Yeah. So you got Okuda, AO, Melifonwu, Mike Ford. That's four right there. So, yeah.
If he could play nickel, but I don't think he's ready. I think right now they just want to keep him on the outside. But, like, part of his, like, the reason why people were excited about him is he could play safety, he could play nickel, he could play outside.
Yeah, good versatility.
But he needs some time to do that because I think AG or Plesnik, I forgot who it was, they said they were testing him on different little spots. He was struggling. So they just moved him to the outside for now.
Well, we say it all the time that outside of quarterback, we think cornerback's the hardest position to transition to the NFL.
Yeah.
And he's young. He's really young and raw. But the ability is there for sure.
Yeah. He's flashed a lot during preseason.
A lot better than I expected. I've said that multiple times.
I agree with that.
He's been a lot better than I expected as early in the process as we are.
Yeah.
Okay. So we talked about corners. We talked about the defensive line. We talked about linebackers. That only leaves the safety position left. And I think we were all in agreement that this is a pretty easy decision. There's not really many guys pushing that position right now. I thought Dean Marlowe had a pretty solid game. CJ Moore had a nice breakup at some point during this game. Tracy and Will both didn't play this game, so I think that locks the starters with Walker and Harris. Marlowe
that was
and Moore,
interesting. I would have played them, to be honest. Same with the corners, but I get it.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't really have premium receivers out there today, the Colts. So, I mean, I don't know. I was okay with resting Okuda and AO.
No, that's fine to rest them. I just feel like they need more reps, though.
I think the safeties could use some more rest because Walker and Harris both had not the greatest games. Not that Okuda had a good game last week either, but I wouldn't have been shocked or I wouldn't have been disappointed if they played Walker or Harris a little bit today, too.
Yeah.
So the safety position's locked. So you got the four. None of those other guys really stepped up.
I think Jalen Elliott, if they really want special teams, maybe like they nice forget play. About that extra corner and they bring in Jalen Elliott because of his special teams. He's been really good at special teams.
I mean, you just mentioned it, that Campbell doesn't believe any of these nickel corners could be special teams players, so I guess that's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, how was Bobby Price in special teams specifically? I don't know if you guys got an eye on that. Money means
he's one of their top guys on special teams. He's one of their I think he's a let me pull it up. I forgot. I believe he's a gunner.
Because that's another guy. I mean, he gives you corner safety versatility, but he's an outside corner as well. So that doesn't really help the situation that we're thinking right now with the nickel corner, backup nickel corner.
That's interesting.
Okay, so we talked about the defense. Talked about the receiving core, talked about the running backs. Offensive line, I thought we saw what we needed to see from the offensive
line.
Yeah,
so Bobby Price is actually the starting gunner. Like, he's the gunner opposite of Ford, so he's probably a lock right now.
You don't think CJ Moore is that guy?
CJ Moore is the personal protector.
Oh. Interesting. Okay.
So, yeah, I think we have to put Bobby Price on our predictions.
So is a fifth safety or sixth corner?
A DB, I guess, both, right?
Yeah, either way. Yeah.
But they moved him to corner, so I just put him in that corner for now.
Okay.
But it's going to be tough making that 53-man roster prediction.
Okay. I had him in my initial one, but I didn't think about special teams today, so he might make it. Okay. Okay. That makes it interesting. All right, let's go into special teams now. Let's go as far as kicking. Randy Bullock, Zane Gonzalez, you saw a little more today. Malcolm, did you see enough today?
I saw one damn field goal. And that field goal was from 28 yards. I didn't see a goddamn thing. I don't think anybody got to see a goddamn thing. I don't know. I still don't know who's our kicker.
I think it's Bullock, but.
You think it's Bullock?
Yeah, Bullock didn't kick today.
I mean, he didn't kick today.
And, like, he was their guy in free agency, so I think they're going to roll with him. But, like Josh said earlier on the show, there is some good kickers that could be waived. The Buccaneers kicker, the Ravens kicker, even traded.
Yeah.
I mean, if the one of those guys is legit, like, why not just trade, like, a seventh-round pick or whatever for them? Kickers are hard to find, man.
And we have expected 10 to 11 picks next year. It could be the most picks in the NFL next year. Lions.
Let's go. Let's go, man.
So, yeah, so like trading a conditional seventh or whatever it is would have hurt them.
No, not at all. I mean, kickers sometimes in the draft go as early as – I mean, we saw as early one time. It was a total bust. It was with Tampa Bay as well. It was the second round. Aguayo. Yeah, it was a second round pick.
What a disaster. Did he come from FSU?
Yeah, Florida State.
Oh, man.
He was money at Florida State, man. Aguayo, sure he was a beast at Florida State, but once he got to the NFL, had zero confidence. Zero confidence. Lost that quickly. I remember he was on Hard Knocks, too. That didn't help his confidence. So, yeah, I mean, kickers could be drafted as early as, like, late day two, early day three. I've seen it. We've seen it multiple times. When did the Lions take Nate Freeze? Was that a fourth or fifth round pick as well, maybe?
Sixth or seventh round pick, I believe.
Okay, I was off. Maybe not Nate Freeze. Okay, discard that then. But we've seen kickers go early into the draft. So, if there's, you know, it's an important position. You got to lock down because that's what can win or lose you games. I mean, you saw it in 2014 when the Lions had a really good team. If they have a good kicker versus the Bills week five, I mean, this is all hypothetically the Lions win the division. Lions win the division.
Sure do.
So, right.
Yes, indeed.
And the Lions right now, I think the kicking position, I think you could label it the most concerning position on this team right now, potentially, even more than receiver and more than linebacker. I really think you could list the kicking position as one of the more concerning ones.
I list it because I haven't seen a goddamn thing. I don't even know. I haven't seen shit. I'm just going by what I'm reading.
Last year, yeah.
When you're trying to like offensively, you need to score points, and these receivers just don't like. I don't know how to say it, man.
They're not it.
It's probably the worst receivers room in the league.
Yeah,
debatable.
I mean, who's better? Who's worse?
Going into the season, there's not really much.
The Texans have Brandon Cooks. They have, I believe, Kenny Stills. They have Nico Collins. They have some talent.
I mean, you're comparing a recycling bin to a garbage bin again.
Yeah, like it's like Lions and Texans. I mean, after those, like,
yeah,
I don't know what you could say, bro.
It's bad. I mean, you got Terrell Williams, you got Khalif Raymond, Amon Ross St. Brown.
No, the Colts are a lot better than ours.
You can argue and say it is.
Pittman, Campbell, Hilton.
What has Pittman done in the league? Pittman is just like Amon Ross St. Brown.
That's not true.
That's not true, bro. Come on.
What has Pittman done?
Pittman was good last year towards the end of the year when he came off IR.
Didn't he get, like, I think he only had like 400 yards?
I mean, he was out for like 7 weeks. He had a good playoff game versus the Bills. I don't know. That's not fair.
I think he only had a couple good games.
Yeah, I mean, he did. I mean, he was out for a lot of the games last year. But I think he's a talented receiver.
I think it's debatable.
Oh, Zach Pascal is pretty good, too. Like, he's a solid depth guy.
Is it fair to say bottom three in the NFL?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, as of right now. But I think that's all going to change. I think that's all going to change by week six. Everybody's going to say by week six is like, man, I didn't know our receiving corps is good.
Yeah, we'll see about that. We'll see.
I'm going to say, I told you.
We'll see. Hopefully.
Give it some time.
I hope that's right. Okay. We covered every position. We covered quarterbacks. We covered running backs. Covered receivers. Covered offensive line, D-line, linebackers, safeties, corners, kickers. You guys got any punting battles right now? Is anyone competing with Jack Fox?
No, stop, bro.
Come on. There's not really a second punter. What I want to bring up, though, is who's a guy who disappointed the hell out of you?
Scott Daly.
No, come on.
Whoa, bro. He actually ran down the field on, like, a play, and he showed his athleticism. So
Scott Daly disappointed me the most.
I actually have a few players that disappointed me in this preseason.
I got one.
I have a few, and I'm gonna just bring them up. First guy I want to bring up is Saquon.
He was terrible.
I don't even think he's worth to bring on the practice squad. I honestly don't.
He has zero catches. The man has zero catches in the preseason.
He didn't have zero. He had a couple, I think.
He had not a. Look it up, man. He has nothing.
Zero? I thought I could have sworn
zero.
He had that.
Zero the hero.
I know he had that
he didn't
one
get a damn
bad
catch.
I know he had a one bad drop in that game.
He had
today.
He had many drops. He had a bad drop in this game.
Yeah, that drop was terrible, dude.
He was. I think out of everybody, because I thought like, all right, out of the undrafted free agents, I thought he was gonna be the guy that's gonna maybe be that guy that makes a roster.
Yeah, he was the worst one.
He was. He played terrible. He played terrible.
Disrespectful to the Golden Tate number.
He played awful. Huge disappointment. Another guy I want to bring up is also in the wide receiving core was Breshad Perriman.
Yeah, I was going to say that one. That was mine.
That was yours? I'm sorry, man. It was a disappointment for me. This is a disappointment for me as well. And I don't think he's going to make the team. He's been disappointing, man.
Yeah, he was not good, bro.
Who else was disappointing for me? Do you have anyone else, Pierre?
Breshad Perriman was mainly mine.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Like, let me think about this for a second.
Tavai is like,
I don't want to say disappointing, but like there was plays at times where like the Lions had a sack or they had a tackle, like the other guy just broke it off. It's not a player, but it's necessarily like the tackling needs to get better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was with the second and third string team.
I mean, still, bro, that's like your depth. Like,
yeah. That was our first team last week, though. I mean, that was bad. Really bad.
Another play is, this play keeps haunting the Lions. You know that one play where they do like the play action, quarterback rolls a little to the right and then just throws it to the tight end or the running back?
Or running back, yep.
Yeah, that play.
That play kills the Lions, man.
That play is a Lion killer. They got to get that fixed, man. Kyle Shanahan, if he sees that on tape, you already know he's going to run that shit with George Kittle.
You got to insert it in Barnes.
Or Kyle Barnes in there. You know what I mean?
You put Barnes in there and that play is shut down.
No, what you have to do, Malcolm, you have to communicate on that play because they set a lot of picks on it, like natural picks on that play, and it's hard for the linebacker to run from all the other side of the field to the other, you know what I mean, to the other side.
So it's
really hard to defend that play.
I'm gonna say last time they ran that play on Barnes, he stopped it instantly. He shut it down.
He did. He's fast. That's why. I don't know how Jamie Collins and Alex Anzalone will look with that play. We just haven't really seen them. Play is a Lion killer, bro.
That's the thing, man. Like, I haven't seen much of Collins and Alex. I just can't picture Alex being better than Barnes. I'm just sitting back. I'm watching Barnes. I'm like, there's no way Alex is better than Barnes.
I think there's gonna be a certain point during the season we're gonna say start Barnes. I feel like it's gonna.
Look at my Twitter. I'll put hashtag start Barnes now. Like
it's gonna
today.
It's gonna get bigger though, like towards week three, week four. I could already tell you that.
I just like, is it possible that Alex is a better linebacker than Barnes? Like,
well,
here's
the thing with Anzalone. Like, he's been in this scheme. He understands it. Like, he knows Glenn's. What do I call it? Glenn's scheme. Like, verbiage. He knows what to do, where to go, and all that stuff. So that's why they have Anzalone, because he just knows Glenn, and Glenn knows him. It's a comfort level. Once Barnes gets comfortable, I think it's Barnes' job to lose, though.
Yeah. I'd say a player that disappointed me kind of in this preseason, it was really that Steelers game that did it for me. It was Jalen Reese-Maven as far as the linebacker, because I thought he had potential to be a good linebacker potentially, and maybe in coverage, but... But I just didn't think he was really bad that week two versus Steelers. So I think he makes a team. I'm not concerned about that. I think he's still going to do his thing that we've always been used to. But I thought maybe we could see an upgrade of Jalen Reese-Maven where he could be special teams and defense.
Like, you know what I've been impressed with? So, like, I've seen the Lions change special team coordinators. They fit special teams unit. I haven't really seen a problem with special teams other than, like, missed kicks or whatever. Like, we haven't really, like, in practice, we haven't really seen a problem with coverage. We haven't seen a problem with, like, returns.
I think returns could use better. I feel like we're not getting more than 20 yards.
Well, the returner is not, the starting returner is not in.
That is true. That is true. That is true. Because, like, when Javon Leak was taking kicks last week, I mean, they were all bad, man.
There's a reason why he wasn't playing today.
Well, he was not even on the team anymore, but yeah.
Yeah.
he was one of the five cut.
Yeah.
But, like, it just wasn't good. So maybe when Khalif Raymond's back there, who we expect to be that guy, maybe it gets better, hopefully. Because Khalif Raymond's been a good punt return in this league before.
You think if Khalif Raymond's is a number two receiver, you think he's still going to be the kick returner?
Well, who do you put out there then? So does, like, this guy,
I think Amon Ra's the punt returner. I think Khalif Raymond's going to be the kicker.
You think so? Like, I don't know if I'd want to put arguably my best receiver as a returner.
Well, who else is there?
Teams do it. There's something that teams do.
Yeah, but man, it's not. Like,
we look at Wes Welker. He did it.
Unless you want TK Jordan there.
Tate, he did it. Stephon Diggs, he did it. I mean, those guys did it.
You know, you can maybe put, like, with the rookie. If Godwin, Aguay by UK makes it, maybe him. I don't know. Even Khalif Raymond, man, that's your number two receiver, bro. Like,
that sounds silly, but who do you put?
Like I said, maybe a Godwin, by UK, or Jamar Jefferson, or...
Like TK was the third guy in the camp battle, so Bolden's not going to make this team, we don't think. D'Angelo Ramos was one of the guys that was competing for that spot. He's not on the team anymore. Like, there's a lot of guys that were competing for that spot with the Raymond, and they're not on the team anymore. It's just Raymond now.
Yeah.
Or Bolden's still on the team, but, like, we don't think he'll be.
No, I don't think he's making it. He just hasn't been good.
No. So, I mean, it was unfortunate. He got overthrown, like, two times today when he had an opportunity deep. So, I don't know what he would have done with that, but he didn't get a good pass either one. But overall, like, there's a like, what do you do there? I don't know. Maybe it is Godwin, the former safety from Northwestern. I don't know what they do.
Bro, just say Igwe by UK. It's not hard.
I'm not going to try it again.
The former safety from Northwestern.
That's, like, disrespectful, man.
Why
is it by his name?
It's better than completely butchering his name.
Like, why?
When I get it, I'll call his name, but it's not happening right now. I can't get his name right now.
It's just, I feel like it's more,
like, disrespectful. Like, if you're on TV, say, name, like, you're calling a game and you're, like, the former safety and not say his name, like, call him by his name.
I can't say the name right now.
Okay, here. Ig?
I've tried. It's not going to come out right now.
Ig, why by UK?
Yeah, like, this is going to have to take some practice off here.
Godwin, Igwe by UK.
I can't do it. Like, I feel like that's more disrespectful. That's more disrespectful my way.
That's way more disrespectful.
We'll call him GI from now. Just call him GI.
We'll get it
by the next episode. Just give us time. We gotta figure it out. You know, I have to do some practice. I got to put myself in the mirror and say it a few times. It's kind of like how I got a Halapute, you know? I had to say it a few times. I had to get it a few times. It's going to come. That's not happening right now.
That's like Malcolm saying, that's how. like it doesn't sound right. More disrespectful, in my opinion.
That was really disrespectful. And if he is hearing this, I am sorry. I looked at it and I tried to say it and it just came out. Didn't come out right.
Or like if I say my mouth in a heart, like I can't say it. Like if I can't say it, like I feel that's more disrespectful. I'm sorry. You're the former safety from Northwestern.
Okay.
Whatever. I like that nickname a lot, honestly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as far as the kick returner and punt returner, it's going to be interesting who they end up going with because, like you've mentioned, you know, Raymond and Amon Ra was expected to have a big role in this offense, but Khalif Raymond was maybe not a guy we expected to have a big role in this offense, and now he's wide receiver too, so.
You know what also has impressed me is the attacking scheme of this front. They just go after the quarterback, and we've seen that. We've seen guys show their athleticism, Kevin Strong, Levan Zerucki, Aleem McNeil. We haven't really seen Romeo Okwara that much, but I feel like when the season starts, Romeo could be, like, a lot better than he's been with the previous staff. I really believe that.
I think Trey Flowers
as well. Was good.
I think Trey Flowers as well. I think this is going to be a – I'm going to call this early.
Mm-hmm.
I think Trey Flowers is going to have a breakout season.
Oh. Okay, I'm here for it.
I'm not saying breakout like he's going to have like 20 sacks. I'm not saying that. I think his career high is like, what, seven and a half sacks?
I think eight and a half.
All right. He's going to have more than that this year. I can see maybe nine or possibly 10 sacks.
That's possible, bro. Like, we've seen, like, the bad clubs play. Like, we don't really see this, but the amount of pressure they've been generating, even from the edge, like Austin Bryant, Charles Harris, in the interior, literally everyone has generated pressure. It's been nice to see. Like, we haven't seen that.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. This is the first time that I'm actually like, okay, our front seven is actually pretty solid.
And you win football games.
I'll say the front four, but yes.
Like, this is, it's a cliche, but you win football games in the trenches, and that's what Holmes did with these picks.
Yeah. I'm actually confident with them.
Yeah.
I'm not too worried about them. It's more, when I think of the defense, I'm looking more at, like, the secondary. I'm kind of like,
right.
But we'll see.
They're young, man. It's going to be a lot of growing pains for this team. They're not going to be that good. But as long as they develop,
this is an early question, and I already know my answer. But what do you guys feel about your boy Jeff Okuda? Like, is this the season that he becomes elite, or is he going to just be an okay corner? Or do you see him just being where do you see Jeff Okuda being this year?
I think he's going to be like really good. Or, like, good. And then year three is when he takes that. You know how Darius Slay took that big-ass leap? Like, became elite? I think he's going to be kind of like Slay. Slay struggled his rookie year, was good his second year. In his third year, he just went off.
So you think that he's going to be a, like, what, top 15 corner? Top 20
corner? Top 20, top 15, top 20, yeah.
What about you, Tyler?
I think it's a big year for him. It's definitely a big year for him as far as his development. You know, I think he has potential to be a really good corner. As far as like a top 10 corner,
elite. I think when you see this to be the year that he'd be elite,
I need to see a little more because we haven't seen enough from Okuda. I've heard everything about Okuda, I've seen what he could do in college. It's just now, could he translate to the NFL? And that's gonna be a big year for him. Obviously, had the big play last week versus Deontay Johnson, and that's gonna happen over here and there, but you know, limiting those plays as the season goes on, because we can't have too many of those plays for Okuda. He can't have too many of those plays for where we drafted him and what the role we expect him to be. So
right.
I think he's going to be a good corner. As far as elite, I think that could be a process. And I think he has the potential to be elite. But as far as this year, I'm not going to say he's going to be that elite corner where we drafted him to be.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have much expectation for Jeff this year.
I would say my expectations are obviously be better than your rookie season, which isn't a hard ask at all.
I feel the same way. I think he's going to definitely improve from his last year performance.
But like, how much is that? You know, because like, he was terrible his rookie season.
He was terrible. I think, honestly, I feel like he's going to struggle against those elite receivers. Like, I think played against like the Adams and the other guys, like the tough receivers. I think he's going to struggle.
Like, I think the real question is like, could we look at Jeff Okuda at the end of the season potentially? Early question, like you said, but could we look at Jeff Okuda at the end of the season and say, that's a building block? We can build off Jeff Okuda.
Do you feel like that?
And I'm still hesitant on that, honestly, right now, just from what we've seen.
You feel like that right now? You don't feel like that right now?
I'm hesitant. I think I'm leaning more towards yes, he will be that guy. More than a no, because I think it's still way too early to judge him and say that he's going to not be that guy. But I can't say confidently right now that he's going to be my future number one corner as of today.
Yeah. And I think it's tough for him and it's unfair for him because I think where he was drafted so high, I think that's going to linger over his head.
Yeah.
I think he drafted where he was supposed to go. Like, that's where I had him.
I get you, but corners in general, they don't usually go number three overall. So, like when you're drafted at number
three
overall.
The problem is, though, with that draft, bro, like, you couldn't take a quarterback. There was only one other position. The way that Martha mandated whatever, there was two players you could have taken, a defensive tackle or a cornerback, and they went with the cornerback.
But what I'm saying is, like, when you draft a guy that high at three, you don't want a three-year progression. You know, when a guy, unless he's like a quarterback, and even with a quarterback, you don't expect a three-year progression for him to be like, all right, 3 years, that's when he's going to take off.
Well, Malcolm, here's the thing for me, though, bro. Like, last year, the development he had was bad, and he played through multiple injuries, and he had, like, a disagreement with the staff, I think, about a groin surgery or if he should take it or not or whatever, get surgery or not. And I believe they don't want him to get surgery. And then once Campbell comes in, he gets a surgery. Okay. So also, there was no training camp last year.
No preseason camp.
My bad. There was no preseason.
Yeah.
All that stuff factors in, man. And when you come off injury and they ask you right away to go cover Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, and yeah, you're going to get beat as a rookie and your confidence is shot right after that and you're playing while you're playing hurt. Like, it's just asking for a disaster, but no pass rush. All these things working against him.
It is. And again, the last thing you said about us not having a pass rush is the reason why I said that we probably shouldn't draft him right now, because it was going to be a setup for Philly his first year because he doesn't have a pass rush. But everybody was saying that he's going to come in and start and blow the world up and cover everybody and lock them down.
Well, here's the thing. No one was good on the Lions defense last year except maybe Romeo Okwara.
Nobody was good, and I get it. But the point I make about Jeff Okuda is that I think he can still be good. I'm not saying he'll be a bust. I'm just saying that because he was drafted so high, and I think that whole three overall is just going to – I think it's going to linger over him because soon I think everybody's going to come down. Soon everybody's going to come down on him that, look, you're drafted high. I don't think he's going to be like the coaching staff doing it, but I think it's more like the media, the fans, and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible.
I don't think that's fair to say right now. Let's see how he looks, and then we could say that.
Yeah. I mean, I started
this conversation saying it's going to be unfair for him because of that.
It's already started within the media and everything. So
exactly, and that's why I was explaining that usually when you're drafted that high at three, you're not expecting a progression like this. And I get the first year was a disaster. I get it, injuries. You could say the coaching staff were clowns. I get that. But now you're like, all right, you drafted him number three overall. Corners don't go that high.
But who are you taking, bro? Like, who are you taking?
You don't ask me this question because you already know who I'm taking.
You want to say Derrick Brown, but Derrick Brown was, like, not really a position, like, that they wanted to invest in. They wanted a corner. They traded away Slay, so they wanted a corner.
And that's why these guys are fired. That's why they have a job. Because you get a corner with no pass rush, and then what happened? You have a disaster. That's why they don't have a job.
I think what was messed up is when ownership basically made that thing. I think you should have just fired them then and then have a new regime come and just restart it.
That could have happened. That could have happened.
That's what should have happened. But if Stafford asked Kyle, then you look at Herbert.
Yeah. I mean, that could have happened, but nothing against Okuda, but drafting him a corner that high with no pass rush is a disaster waiting to happen. And that's why they are where they are now. They're not here. But now
they have a pass rush, though. Well, like somewhat
now,
of a
now
pass
they have
rush.
A pass
improved
rush.
Improved pass rush. An improved pass rush. I don't want to say they have it yet, but
yeah,
it's improved. Yeah, I think it'll be at least middle of the league. It won't be like dead last.
I'm not gonna say they're gonna have one until I see it. I'm not putting my eggs all in the basket. I have to see it. And I say this all the time. Either whether negative or positive, I have to see it. Are we going to have a running game? Shit, I don't know. I got to see it. What's going to happen? I got to see it. So I'm hoping that, you know, they do have a pass rush. So far in preseason, their scheme is looking like they're able to get after the quarterback. And this is what the second and third unit. So that does excite me because the second and third team is able to get to the quarterback. I'm pretty sure our first team is going to be able to get to the quarterback. At least I'm hoping our first team can get to the goddamn quarterback. So.
Well, yeah, that's obviously coming with first-team offensive lines as well, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
and, you know, week one, Okuda has a big test. He's seeing Debo and IU. So those guys are really good.
That's something to see.
Yeah.
That's something to see.
Yeah, and I look at Okuda more than just the draft position, too, where we took him at three. I look at it more as, could he be a future piece? I think that's more important at the end of the day than living up to that number three status to me. And I think he will. I'm leaning more towards yes.
I honestly believe he will. I'm still high on Okuda. I think he'll live up to the expectation. He has the best coaches right now. He has Aubrey Pleasant, Aaron Glenn, two great DB coaches. Glenn's obviously right now the defensive coordinator, but he was a DB's coach with the Saints. He has, like, we think there's a pass rush. This scheme is more simpler for him. He doesn't have to think as much, right?
For sure.
So I just think He's going to be good, bro. Obviously, he's going to have some growing pains because he's also learning a new scheme at the same time, right? So,
But I just want what I want to see out of Okuda this year doesn't necessarily have to be elite. I just want to see him and say that could be a core I build off for the next few
years. You know what I want to see? I want to see improvement as the weeks go on.
Yeah.
Like maybe week one to week two, three, he might struggle. But if he's like week four, five, six, and so on, he's balling out.
Well, we're going to judge from we're judging the whole 18-week season.
That's what I want to see improvement throughout the entire roster throughout weeks because this is a young team, man. This is a really young team.
Yeah. I honestly feel like he's gonna improve a lot from last year.
For sure.
I mean, I think
and the media has even said like in practice like he used to slip and fall all the time. Now he looks good. He looks smooth. He's actually taking rookies under his guidance. Like he's the leader already, and only in his second year. So you like to see that. Like everything is there. And when he's not playing, he's either talking to a rookie corners or talking to his coaches or talking to a receiver about what they did so I can fix it up. So he's trying to get better. And even in the off season before OTAs and training camp, he went learned the playbook with AP and AG. So that's another positive with him.
The work ethic is there.
And also like the drive to be great is there as well. Like, he knows he has to be better, and I think he will be a lot better, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's only one way he could go up. He could go from last year.
That's up.
He can't get worse than he did last year. So there's only one direction he can possibly go, which is up. So,
right.
I mean, I'm hoping that he becomes a really good corner.
I want the Lions to, like, teach him, like, how to press. Like, we have big corners. If they learn how to press – like jam receivers at the line of scrimmage, that would be huge for this defense.
Definitely. And you could have some guys shadow as well at some point.
Absolutely.
So
do you see him shadowing this year?
No. Not maybe early like on. As the year goes on, but not like right away, no.
Not early on.
Now if you ask me next year, I could see him next year shadowing guys, yeah.
We'll take a week by week. And I think that's how you gotta do with the NFL. Take a week by week, see how these guys improve. And then we'll go from there.
If there's like injuries, say like he's like the only starter in there. I could see him shadowing like the best receiver if there's injuries also. It just depends.
Yeah, if you're like
throwing week by week.
Yeah, if you're throwing like a 5-2 Melifonwu or something like that in there, like if it's like really early, let's say, hopefully we don't have to get into the situation, but like if you throw a young rookie in there who's not ready to play, maybe you see more of a shadow from Okuda. Yeah. That's we'll see. We'll take it week by week like we said.
This is going to be interesting because I want to see how our team's going to play Jeff Okuda. Are they going to pick on him like they did last year?
They're going to target him for sure. They're going to target him.
I want to see how
he steps up to the plate.
Kyle Shanahan is going to go at him. Like I'll tell you this right now, Shanahan's going to target him.
And how is he going to react? And you know what Kyle Shanahan also going to do? He's going to attack. He's going to try to attack that running game. He's going to test the rookie Liam McNeil. Is this guy legit? We'll see.
And Shanahan like keeps attacking a weakness until you fix it in a game. Exactly. Like he'll keep doing it and doing it and doing it. That's what I love about him.
That's why he's the best coach in the NFL. Okay.
One of the best. I don't know about the best. One of the best.
He's my favorite, I'll say. So my favorite coach in the NFL. Yeah. All right. I think with that being said, I think that's a wrap, guys. Good episode, boys. I had fun. I had a lot of fun talking about the last preseason game. And we're gonna get into one more 53-man prediction. So we got to narrow this Lions roster down. We're going to talk about the 53-man roster after it's released. And is that the countdown, boys? Is that the countdown for real Lions football, regular season football breakdown?
Yes,
maybe another episode.
Maybe another episode.
But like maybe 2-3 more episodes before Lions breakdown? Ooh, I'm excited. Dude.
Oh my god!
And we also have a special guest coming on too.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So we won't spoil that right now. But I'm excited, dude. I'm really excited. Me and Pierre are gonna be added to Week 1 to Ford Field, Lions, Niners. That's gonna be fun, man.
Yes.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. Malcolm, if you didn't have a wedding, you'd be there. So.
Yeah. Don't remind me.
Yeah. We'll make it to a game at some point. But I hope you guys all enjoyed this. Like we said, we'll have about 2-3 more episodes before our breakdown Lions versus Niners. So stay tuned for all those. We'll have them all updated on our Twitter and on our Instagram. So stay tuned for that for sure. And with that, I'm out, guys. Peace. 5-star reviews, please.
All right, guys, I'm out.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.